Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathleen O., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, June 30th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 68, the first paragraph that begins with, "We reviewed our fears thoroughly." We'll be reading and commenting on this one paragraph only. Today's readers are Naomi B., Joanne L., Naomi B. and Melanie. The readers of our text are Shelley E. and Dion R. The share ID for Tuesday, June 29th at 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 17,247. That's 17247. This morning's Wednesday, June 30th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting share ID is 17,256. That's 17256. Our newcomer greeter for today is Mary B., and Leslie M. will be making the announcements. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'll now ask Naomi B. to read the 12 steps, please.
Thank you, Kathleen. Good morning. Good morning, family. This is Naomi B., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater outside Philadelphia. 1. We admitted we are powerless over food, that our lives have become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continue to take personal inventory, and when we're wrong, promptly admit it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge for His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service this month, and I pass.
And thank you so much, Naomi B. And Melanie C., if you would read the 12 traditions, please.
Good morning. Absolutely. My name is Melanie, recovered compulsive overeater in Oregon, and these are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He expressed Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They don't govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional. but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities pass.
Thank you, Melanie C. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 68, the first paragraph that begins with, "We reviewed our fears thoroughly." We'll be reading and commenting on this one paragraph only. And Shelley E., good morning. If you could get us started, please.
Good morning, Kathleen. Good morning, my fellow travelers. I'm Shelley E., a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater, presently in Petoskey, Michigan. And this is page 68 of the Big Book. We reviewed our fears thoroughly. We put them on paper, even though we had no resentment in connection with them. We asked ourselves why we had them. Wasn't it because self-reliance failed us? Self-reliance was good as far as it went, but it didn't go far enough. Some of us once had great self-confidence, but it didn't fully solve the fear problem or any other. When it made us cocky, it was worse. Again, Shelley Ellison. Shelley E., recovered compulsive overeater. And when I first read this paragraph, and as I was going through the action of writing down my fears, I kind of stayed on the surface of things. And it wasn't until later in program that I learned to actually drill down into the fear. I would, state a simple fear, but under that fear would be a fear, and under that fear would be a fear. And, it was so healing to have my higher power show me the root of my fears. And so I am grateful that this process really showed me and helped me get through that. Because what I do know is self-reliance, it only got me so far, and that was not very far. I needed higher power. When I looked up self-reliance, it says reliance on one's own capabilities and judgment. And certainly I know that I wasn't able to handle the things in my life that were bothering me. And it's also reliance on one's own power. I love that. I love that they put power in there because that's what I was lacking. I was lacking power. And through the Big Book, I found my power. I will say that when I have a fear, and I have fear all the time, I'll do a 10-step on it. This weekend coming up is a fearful weekend for me. I have children in program. They're in their program, but I tend to be fearful they're going to go out. And guess what? That's not my business. That's their business. But the fear can sometimes arise in me. And so I have to realize that fear means I'm not relying on God. I have to give that to God. And I know in particular with that, when those instances come up, I have a prayer that I say, and it's from the Four Today. And it is, I love you. I bless you. I release you to your own indwelling presence of God. And that helps me a lot with a lot of different fears, remembering that we're all a child of God. The same God that's inside of me is inside of everyone. And I can rely on him to take care of everything, just like I rely on him to take care of my daily needs. So with that, I'll pass, and I look forward to hearing from everyone. Thank you.
And thank you so much, Shelley E., for getting us started this morning. Okay, we're on page 68, the first paragraph. We reviewed our fears thoroughly. And although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Naomi B.
Naomi B.
Sherry M.
Sherry M.
Tamara C.
Tamara C.
Veronica B.
Veronica B. Melanie C. Melanie C. Okay, we will stop there. I have Naomi B., Sherry M., Tamara C., Veronica B., and Melanie C. Go ahead, Naomi B.
Thank you. Thank you, Kathleen. Good morning, family. Still Naomi B., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater outside Philadelphia. You know, it's just amazing. When I look back on my journey or what my life was before I came into program, I did not realize that fear, living in fear was like living in the future. I didn't understand that concept. I'm just understanding it now. And it was just such a form of unbelief to me and inescapable, a fact of my life. It was so unnecessary. It's so unproductive. And it just, or counterproductive. And I didn't know what I didn't know. And living with this fear and self-reliance, wow, I was really dumb. But I didn't know. I didn't understand. Now that I know better, thank you, God, I do better. And I equate this word fear to that what-if road. And I say to myself and I say to others, I have to erect a wall, a barrier like up to heaven on that what-if road. Because once I start going down, that's a bad place for me to go. And so I don't. So I cling to God. I cling to my program. I cling to, you know, working my program every day, being recovered. And it's so funny, like for the longest time I had my own business in my home, so I didn't do a lot of outside driving. And then as of late, and, you know, plus I'm getting a little older, as of late there's different driving that I have to do. And, you know, I get a little nervous about it. I thought, okay, just calm down. God's going to be in the passenger seat next to me, and you're going to go. And then I kind of like shoot through that fear, and I arrived at my destination. It's like, wow, I could do that. So I guess it is also a change of perspective of not living on self-reliance. I gave that up when I gave up being the actor 10 years ago. So thank you for allowing me to share, and I pass.
And thank you, Naomi B. in Pennsylvania. Sherry M., good morning. You are up, followed by Tamara C.
Hi, good morning, everyone. My name is Sherry M., and I'm a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in California, never cured, but recovered for today. And boy, I just, you know, this is like another gift that this big book gives me is here's some more instructions for me, right? So now I have a way out of a life of stuffing my face with food by following these instructions. So first I've started my second part of my inventory, which is the fears, and I had a lot of fears that were connected with resentment. So those were already on my list here, and now it's asking me to list more fears that maybe don't have any resentment in connection with them. So I had a lot of those as well. Like I'm afraid to go in the ocean because I'm afraid of getting eaten by a shark. Like I'm not resentful of the ocean, but I'm afraid of the shark. So I have to put that on there. It's about being totally thorough. And this other part that was really sticking out for me was it was talking about having great self-confidence. And I have to tell you, I thought I had great self-confidence until you took away my food. And what I was using for confidence was, you know, first it was the alcohol that was taken away. That was my liquid courage. And then it was the food. which I couldn't let go of because every time I needed to make an important business call, I had a package of cookies next to me, and I would eat those cookies before the call, and then I had such great courage, right, to show up anywhere, at any event where I was feeling a lack of confidence. I would stuff my face with food, and then I would have great confidence. And it wasn't until I got recovered and really put everything away, everything I was using for comfort, that I saw that I was riddled with fear. But now I have a way out. And I have to say, I love the acronym FEAR, you know, future events already ruined. I heard that, a new twist on it. And for me, that was, you know, thinking the worst case scenario was going to happen. And oh boy, I mean, this is the biggest gift. I just did a fear inventory yesterday. I don't know if anyone else has this experience, but when I do this work, and this is also all of my fears is showing me where I'm being agnostic, right? I can say I'm a believer, but if I have all these fears, I'm not trusting and relying upon God. And when I do it through the inventory, and just to wrap up, such miraculous things happen for me almost like immediately. I have had instances where I turn over an inventory, and then 5 minutes later, the person that I was afraid of has emailed me or called me. God is just constantly showing me that by doing this work and staying with both hands and God's, that I can get through anything in life and I never have to go to food as a solution again. And boy, if that is not the greatest miracle on earth, it's astonishing. And I'm still in awe of how this program works and that it does work. And there are miracles waiting for everyone. If you're struggling, just hang on and do the instructions in this book because it's beyond imaginable. Thank you so much. I pass.
And thank you, Sherry M. in California. Tamara C., you are up, followed by Veronica B. Good morning, Tamara.
Good morning. This is Tamara C. I'm so grateful to be recovered, and I'm in California. I want to focus on the instruction that says we asked ourselves why we had them. I was encouraged by fellows and sponsors to really dig a little deeper into that, to get quiet when I'm doing my inventory and just really ask, why do I have these fears? And I was given some questions that helped me dig deeper into that. And it all comes back to self-sufficiency, that I am trying to keep myself safe. I'm trying to use self-reliance. And I really needed to thoroughly see the truth. I still need today to thoroughly see the truth that self-reliance fails me, that it keeps me in fear. It hurts me and it hurts others. And I just have to really look at that. Where is my self-reliance? I'm fighting to predict every possible tragic outcome, to plan the perfect preventative solution, to manage well. I fight and push and control. I bully myself and others and I force my will. And all this exhausting effort, it just fails me. I fight and I run my course and I live in fear and worry, anxiety, cynicism and pessimism. And then when all of this fighting, it fails to get me my way, then I live in resentment and judgment and self-seeking. And it's pretty miserable. It's not really living. It's not the life that I want. It's not the life my higher power has for me. And, I'm just really grateful that in the paragraph we're going to study tomorrow, we're shown a better way. And I'm just going to hold my higher power's hand and ask my higher power to show me a better way today. I'll pass.
Thank you, Tamara C. in California. And Veronica B., good morning. It is your turn, followed by Melanie C.
Good morning. I'm Veronica. I'm a compulsive eater. And thank you, Kathleen, for your service. And I just did a fear inventory so that I can deepen my connection with God. And by doing this inventory, I get to find out why I have this fear. I have to get down to the root cause of my thought process. What is it inside me that has this fear? And when I was in a food, when I would have fear or any kind of feelings, I would just stuff my feelings. That was how I coped with my life. I would just stuff. I would do anything to escape from my feelings. And now I get to live on a different basis. It's a basis of trusting God. So I wrote down my fears, and I found out why I have that fear. And ultimately, the bottom line for me, I would say that 90% of my fears all lead to I'm afraid of being alone. I'm afraid to be alone. And but the beauty is his program gives me a God of my understanding, and I'm never alone as long as I'm trusting and relying on my higher power. And what a miracle that is for someone like me who used to eat and throw up for 15 years. Like today, I have a God of my understanding that takes care of me. And when I write my fears down on paper, for me, God is in the pen. You know, I really get down to the root cause of why I have the fear. And today, when I have fear, I know what to do. I have to get it down on paper. And mostly when I have fear, it's because I'm feeling judged or I feel like I'm lacking something. And that's when I have to get quiet and get close to God and see where God would have. I would have to direct my attention to God, where have me be, what, you know, what's important to me in that moment. So there's just a whole process that I've got to learn here, a whole different way of living that I learned here, so that when I do have fear, I know to go to God, and I have to take actions. I have to continue to take actions to lead me to God. This is a conditional program. If I meet this condition, I will get this promise, right? So I have to continue to take actions that are contrary to how I feel, contrary to how I think. I have to act my way into good living. And by this way, I get a relationship with God, and that takes care of me and protects me and absolutely adores me. And I love my life, and I love this way of life. And thank you so much for letting me share. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Veronica B. in California. And before we take Melanie, I just want to remind everyone we're on page 68, the first paragraph. We reviewed our fears thoroughly, and I'll be taking some more names after Melanie. So good morning, Melanie.
Hey, good morning, Kathleen. Good morning, everyone. My name is Melanie C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Oregon, focusing on even though we had no resentment in connection with them. This is the first time that I have learned and understood that this third column brings us back to me. Big Book suggests that I set the ball in motion. There was something within me that created column one and column two. And there are several reasons why that could be legitimate reasons to be in column one and column two, but basically it ends up being here with me. And the turn here is what I call this. This is where I'm beginning to turn. So there really wasn't a resentment. It was a fear, and I learned by putting it down on paper and watching and mapping it, I could see that I couldn't get it. I couldn't get what it is that I wanted, the second part of step one, unmanageability. And then I couldn't get others to get what it was that I wanted. I couldn't get others to get what I wanted. Then it points back to then this self-reliance piece. I was trying to treat certain situations with resentment and fear and anger in order to get what it was that I wanted, which was that it points right back to the food issue. One cookie is too many and a thousand is never enough. I'm not good enough. I don't have enough, and I'll never be enough, and I don't do enough, which is one of the concerns that I always had, you know, within my life is, will somebody see me? Will I be visible enough? And some of these things, what I learned along the way in this further examination of fear, not only is it symptomatic of the disease of addiction, it will always be there, but given the tools of these 12 steps, I'll be able to properly treat that, and I'll no longer have to go back to being on the back of somebody else with rage and anger and hatred and fear and defensiveness and that sort of thing. I can separate my life from their life and let them move on, not hold them hostage anymore, which is a wonderful thing. I had a funny situation happen to me yesterday as we learned to move along, and we understand that it's fear that's underneath these sort of things, we then can address it properly. I went to the dentist. Many people don't like to go to the dentist, and that's just what I did yesterday. And immediately, because of program, I was able to recognize when I was walking in the door, I was angry going into the dentist. And so the receptionist was rude, and so the dentist was rude, and everybody's rude. And I dreamed up this whole thing in my own head. And the truth matter was that was under, I know that fear immediately still tries to go to rage and anger, which still tries to take me to column one and column two. And it's just a symptom of the disease. And so the new remedy that we get to do now, because of technology, I just told the dentist, hey, I'm going to put on some music in my ears and meditation music in my ears, and I was fine. And I could see that's what it was, and I didn't have to do anything further with that. It's a symptom of my disease. I was able to see that in the third column, and it helped with everything else. With that, I passed.
Thank you so much, Melanie C. in Oregon. Okay, we're on page 68, the first paragraph. We reviewed our fears thoroughly. And if you have not shared in the last 3 days, we'd love to hear you share. So I am ready for some names.
Larry G. from California.
Larry G.
Deborah P. Michelle C.
Kathy Z.
Okay, hold on 1 second. Dion.
Alexis F.
Okay, let's stop there. I think I didn't get all the initials, but I have Larry G, Deborah P, Michelle, Dion R, Kathy Z, and Alexis F. Did I miss anybody? Okay. So go ahead, please, Larry G in California.
Good morning, everybody. I'm from California. My name's Larry G. Oh, I love these two pages, 68 and 69, or 67, 68. It's been a work in progress for me. Going on 40 years in Alcoholics Anonymous this summer, and this has been the two most heavily read pages for me in the big book, 67, 68. And a fear that I have suffered since childhood is a fear of economic insecurity. It used to drive me, to the point where I had to get therapy, you know. It was just traumatizing. But these fear inventories I've done over the years, they really work. And you hear people on the meeting, they talk about, oh, I had this fear or that fear, and I did a fear inventory and asked God to remove it, and it was removed. And you just want to sometimes put your finger in your mouth and throw up. Are you kidding me? That's all you got to do is follow the instructions on page 67 and 68, and the fear will be removed. Yes, it really works when I do it. I did a 10th step this morning. I'll be giving to my sponsor after this call. Because one more time, the fear of economic insecurity. I've been gone for 8 days on vacation. I overspent more money than I wanted to spend. I was unconscious around the money. And what ended up happening is that I've come back and my billings for the month are down. And all of a sudden, I wake up at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning with that same nagging fear of economic insecurity. It's like my life is over. And I did it. I did the fear inventory this morning. It's like before I finish, it's like, what are you even afraid of, Larry? Do you have a roof over your head? Yes. Do you have food in the refrigerator? Yes. Do you have a car that works? Yes. So I gave this fear to God. I prayed about it. And the fear has been removed. Now, I have a part to play in this. That's the second part, which there is action, more action. There's things I can do this month to increase my billing. There's things I can do this month to bring on new clients. And so God has given me a brain to use. And I'm not going to throw self-reliance out the window, because self-reliance works as long as self-reliance is in alignment with my higher power's will. Because we'll learn on step 11, that God gave us brains to use. And so, hey, I can figure out a little plan. I can make the calls and check it out with my DA sponsor and make sure it's truthful, it's unselfish, it's loving, and increase my billings for the month of August, and all is well. So for those of you on the call who are skeptical of this, the way I've been, it works. It really does. But belief is only halfway. Faith is what is required, and it says that men of faith, women of faith, trust your God. And today I'm trusting my God. I'm going to show up and do what's in front of me, do the very best I can with the clients I have, and I'll go to bed at night, and I will sleep like a baby. Thank you so much. I wish everybody a great sober day.
And thank you, Larry G. in California. Deborah P., you're up, followed by Michelle. Good morning, Deborah.
Good morning. Hi, this is Deborah P. in California, a grateful compulsive eater. Yeah, so this, I've been pursuing God a lot lately these days, and I've really come to realize how much fear is underneath just the compulsion to eat. I mean, it's just become so clear to me, and it's almost just like breathing. I mean, I've been doing it for so long that it's like, wow. So I've been able to turn that over. And yesterday I had a surgery, which ended up getting canceled, which, yeah, it was just a very, very stressful thing that I've been putting off. And I had a lot of fear. I mean, a tremendous amount of fear around this. I had a lot of resentment towards certain practitioners that were legitimate. Actually, there were some mistakes made, but there was just all this stuff. And, you know, I did start writing some things down, but there's this part of me, it's like I'm so used to being in avoidance that I'm like, no, you know, I don't want to write this down. I'm, you know, there's a part of me that just goes into that avoidance thing. But then once I wrote it down, I don't know, it really, really helped me. And I was able to just kind of look at what was going on. I mean, I think a big part of this program is just, it's facing reality. It's like, you know, I've been avoiding reality for so long. And I don't know, it just really helped me. It really helped me to see what was going on in my brain. So that's all I got for today. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Deborah P. in California. And Michelle, you're up, followed by Dion R. And I missed your initial, Michelle. So go ahead, please.
Hi, this is Michelle C., recovered compulsive overeater from Missouri. And yesterday, I just recently did a more up-to-date, thorough fear inventory of fears that I'd been kind of letting pile up instead of really digging down to the root of them and, you know, seeing where's the dishonesty in this fear and, you know, praying about it and, you know, praying for what God would have me be or do. And so I wrote out all of those and called my sponsor this morning to go over them. And we went over a couple, and then she kind of just stopped and said, you know, just reading over these really is just kind of like therapy, unless you're really letting God into this. And because I had told her, I feel like I'm having some step two issues. My concept of God, it's like the old God that I thought I had fired is like creeping back in slowly. And so I think deep down, I don't really believe that God is going to remove these fears from me. So when I'm doing these inventories and saying these prayers, you know, it's like almost just like therapeutic work when it should be spiritual work. And so she gave me an assignment to go back and write about my concept of God and remember the three clues that the big book gives us about God, that he's smart, strong, and cares about me. And I think my deep issue is I think deep down, I struggle with thinking that God really cares about me. So she gave me the assignment to dig deep and figure out why. And I just felt like that was such good advice to go back and, you know, this whole fear inventory really isn't going to do anything unless I really solidify my concept of God and with God and have faith that God is really going to do for me what I can't do for myself. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Michelle C. in Missouri. Good morning, Dion R. You are up, followed by Kathy Z.
Okay, thank you again, Kathleen. Good morning. This is Diana, and we reviewed our fears. They're talking about when they get ready to get down the cause and effect, you know, taking that inventory. And fear was supposed to have been like a bad thing in our family. Even if we were fearful, we didn't show it. So it was either like a Jekyll and Hyde, I love you, I hate you, you know. So fear, self-reliance, all those are the things, yes. Self-reliance was a good thing. You know, rely on yourself. That's just what we were taught, even in society. Do it yourself. Pick yourself up by your bootstraps. And but all that, and And even though we're taught not to be angry, you know, I have a resentment. Still, all those things did not solve anything for me. It just made me sore. And when I tried to have self-confidence, it was only because I was faking. You know what I'm saying? I don't care, and I got, you know, and this don't bother me. When it did. As a matter of fact, because it just made us cocky. And when it was cocky, it was worth it. You know, you can't bull crap or somebody can see through somebody else's stuff when they say, oh, I got this, I used to do this, or what, when I would say that anyway, other people call me on my stuff. So I just appreciate the fact that I can review my shit. This is a design for living in these 12 steps. The first 164 pages is a design to help me to live with any problem I have or that may arise. Yeah, I can have fear because I'm a human being. As we all are, we know that, you know, but I used to beat myself up because I was afraid. And today to say I'm afraid, okay, God, what do you want me to do with these fears? I start being my 10th step. You know, sometimes they're still there. What do you want me to do with the fears? And when I do the next right thing, which is call someone to get out of my head, the answer appears. So with that, I just want to pass it back. I just want to get in on that the fear problem, the fear, yeah, it only thing couldn't help it was for me to work these 12 steps. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks for allowing me to share.
And thank you, Dion R. And Kathy Z, you are up followed by Alexis F. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. This is Kathy Z from Washington State. I am a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, and very grateful to be on this meeting with everybody this morning. So what I've learned is that fear underlies all of my actions. It reminds me of this wisteria plant that my husband and I planted in our yard on each side of our house. And little did we know that it was an invasive wisteria plant. And so years later, like 15 years later, if we do not cut back and attack this plant, I have these visions of it swallowing our house in the middle, just sucking it down, pulling it down from sunlight. And I realized that if I don't work with God and through these inventories on my fear, that I will be blocked from that sunlight of the spirit. And so I'm very grateful for this work in these steps that I'm learning how to do, because God is, he's working through me and he's helping me see things more clearly. And I'm getting to a point, or I'm praying to get to the point where I'm talking to him throughout the day and asking him to reveal, you know, what's going on? Why am I feeling like this? What's happening? And so I do that with my nightly inventory, and I do that in the morning as well. And I ask him to remove my fears for the day. But I'm trying to get into the habit of also talking to him just throughout the day, asking him to reveal things for me. And I just came up with another acronym during this call for fear, and that is first ask God to first erase assumptions rightly, because some fears are just a part of being human, and they're not always bad. They're not always destructive. So I need to turn to God, ask him to first erase my assumptions about things rightly, and then do the work. And doing that work with other fellows that are doing these steps with me, I think is very important, because we understand each other and the work that we're trying to do to maintain that communion with God that is so vital to our recovery. And when I do share my fears with others that don't understand this work, they seem to validate it, and then I just get stuck in it. So I'm so grateful for our 10 steps, our inventories, for our fellowship, and for all of us on this meeting today, where we can all try so hard to put God first and to ask him to help us grow and become stronger so that we can carry out his will and love to other people. Thank you so much for letting me share. Have a beautiful day.
And thank you, Kathy Z in Washington. We are on page 68, the first paragraph. We reviewed our fears thoroughly. I'll be able to take about two more names after Alexis. So go ahead, please, Alexis F.
Yes, thank you very much for the meeting, and thank you, everyone, for your shares. I've always had trouble speaking and fear of speaking in front of people. And it's always been very difficult for me, as I'm sure it is for all of you. I say to myself, and this is my faith, I can and I will. And that means the grace of God that tells me I can get through anything with His grace, no matter what comes along. All I know for today is that He's given me the grace to be abstinent and to endorse myself for the things that I do, and pay no attention to other people who tell me I should be in a space higher than where I am right now. I have a knowledge of this program, and I've had it for years and years, but I've only put it into practice lately. Knowledge tells us what to do. Practice tells us how to do it. And I practice over and over, turning things over to God and turning my fears and resentments over to Him the best I can. And I have a grave emotional and mental disorder. And I have to be honest, and I have a fear of being alone, and a fear of losing, and that's all for now. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Alexis F. And I can take about two more people. Who else would like to share on this paragraph? First paragraph on page 68.
Annabelle.
Did I hear Annabelle?
Yes.
And what was your initial again, Annabelle?
Z as in zebra.
Z, okay. And was there one more person?
Adele R.
Okay. Okay, go ahead, please, Annabelle Z.
Thank you. I'll make it quick. My name is Annabelle. I'm a compulsive overeater from Washington. And this paragraph to me, the thing that always stands out is, we asked ourselves why we had them, our fears. Wasn't it because self-reliance failed us? And is that is the paragraph we're on, right? Yeah. And I think about relying on self. It's when I think I know better. And it's not that I know better than God. It's just that I forget about God. And fear just makes me forget about God. It's kind of like what we always talk about, is that fear is the opposite of faith. And, you know, some people think that's true, but it's really just semantics. Like, to me, it's if I'm in fear, I'm forgetting faith. And if I have faith, fear is forgotten. And if I have faith, it's because I'm relying on God to give me the next direction. I'm relying on God to, the words I need to use to deal with a situation that comes up with a person or whatever. And self-reliance just always fails. It always fails. And all self-reliance is that I forgot to bring God into my life. So that's all I wanted to share. Thank you so much for your service.
Thank you, Annabelle Z in Washington. And go ahead, please, Adele R.
Hi, thank you. I'm Adele R. in Kansas City. And so grateful for this paragraph and the shares today. And I still go into fear when I say I want to share. Like, my hands start to sweat a little bit. But I just love this line. Wasn't it because self-reliance failed us? And I have just tucked this into my pocket. And it just comes to me many times a day. Isn't it because my self-reliance has failed me? And especially around relationships with people, and my just instinct to go into codependence for the people that I love and care about. Like, it shows me that I feel like their well-being lands squarely on my shoulders. And I can just fall back into this line. Isn't it because self-reliance fails me that I'm in fear and I can release them again to God? And I'm so grateful for this and for this program and for everybody on the line and just this beautiful focus on the big and the solution that it has for my life. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Adele R. in Missouri. Would anyone like to take a two-minute share on this page 68, the first paragraph?
Hi, Kathleen. Oh, I would like to.
Go right ahead. Thanks, Joanne.
Hi. This is Joanne L. from Rhode Island, and this is a perfect a step for me on fair because this morning I was supposed to do service. And I kept on calling and calling, and I kept on saying that it was no longer in service, the telephone number. So I was panicking because I love to do service, and it was my last week of the month. So I apologize that I could not get through. But I just want to say about fears, you know, I realized when I got to this part, the fear part, just how fearful I was as a child. Everything. I was just, everything was bracketed with fear, 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 fear. So I had to name the fears. I had to say why I had the fear. But the bottom line was when it came after the fear, the bottom line was, what should we have done instead? We should trust and rely on God. You know, I only have 2 minutes to share, but I want to say, you know, now I know the difference. When I all of a sudden have a fear, I stop myself and I go, uh-oh, why are you fearing? What's wrong? And the other thing somebody once taught me was, if you see somebody angry, ask them what they're fearing, because behind that anger is fear. And I can relate to that as well. Sometimes when I'm angry, I'm like, uh-oh, what are you fearing, Joanne? So today I can stop myself. You know, I pray about it. I say, God, just, you know, help me get through this fear, and I do. I really, truly do come out on the other side. And I visit it today. I say that I visit fear. I don't live in fear like I used to. I just go in, I visit, and then I come out. And the way to do that is for me to go to my higher power, trust and rely on him, because he does for me that I could never, ever, ever do for myself. And I love it. I just love him, and I love this program, and it has done so much for me. And I thank you, and I apologize again, Kathleen. And thank you to Melanie for stepping in. I pass.
Thank you, Joanne L. in Rhode Island. And thank you, everyone, this morning for your beautiful shares. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So, Dion R., if you would please read a vision for you, please.
Yes. Hi, Kathleen. Yes, I am here. Okay. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own health is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship is right with him, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God. As you understand God, admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then, and I'll pass.